And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com here every night till 10 o'clock at the El Pacifico. And, of course, we're talking about 1 a.m. on the East Coast. We have Robert Greene is going to join us here in a few minutes, and we're going to talk about the foolproof businesses, not foolproof businesses. I guess that's what Bob calls it, though. You talk to him, Bud, right?
Yeah, you can't mess with me.
The you can't mess with me business?
No, that's just what he said. He said that.
Well, he said that the business, because I talked to him a little bit, he said that the business he's in is absolutely recession-proof because he sells food. I wrote the quote down here.
Because he sells food.
Yes, I wrote the, hold on. He said, and I'm quoting Bob directly, "You can't push me around, I sell food."
All right, so Robert Greene will be with us here. We're also going to have Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Kenyon College, and he's going to talk about the smartphone. And he's come up with a little gimmicky saying. I'm not exactly sure that this is going to work, but we'll ask him about it. Do you remember when you were in school? When I was in school, I specifically remember the nuns saying to us, never use the word assume because it makes an ass, and they would circle the A-S-S out of you, and they would circle the U and me, the M-E, right?
Say that again.
You've never heard this?
Phil, I've heard it, but just run it by me again, because I've...
The nuns would say to me...
What nuns?
The ones that taught me, Bud, my teachers.
Oh, okay.
And they would write on the chalkboard, never use the word assume, because it makes an ass, and they would circle the A-S-S.
What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, see, that's what's confusing people when you say they're circling an ass.
They're not circling an ass. They're circling the... How do you spell assume?
I don't know.
Professor.
Yes, you spell it A-S-S-U-M-E.
Okay. So if you had that on a chalkboard, the nuns would say, never use this word assume. They're pointing to the word, A-S-S-U-M-E. And they'd say, never use the word assume because it makes an ass, circle A-S-S.
Oh, that's the ass they're circling.
Yes, that's the ass they're circling.
Oh, I remember this. Yes, that's the one that you told me about. No, I didn't go to a Catholic school.
Well, I don't think you had to go to a Catholic school. In point of fact, some of the people that use the word assume all the time are people who went to Catholic schools. I don't think it had anything to do with it. I'm just saying that the nuns, you know.
What the nuns know about it?
The nuns were my teachers. That's what I'm saying. They didn't have any special knowledge of it.
Oh, all right. Well, that's where a lot of people, I think we got confused. It sounded as if the nuns had some magical information that the rest of us might not have had.
No, just that they were my teachers, that's all. So they would write down, never make an ass.
Yeah, and it would make out of me and you.
Out of you and me. You and me. God, why do I even go there, you know?
Well, Phil, if you are better at explaining these things, I'm not criticizing.
Yes, Phil, you need to slow down and give it to us very piecemeal. Never make an ass. All right, stop right there. Now, what does that mean?
What does what mean?
Never make an ass. You were saying that.
Yeah, he's saying about an ass.
No, never make an ass. That's not even... That's ridiculous. You got to start... Just forget it, okay? Because I got to get to this guest, all right?
Well, Phil, this is why people get upset with you, because you get frustrated and you give up on people and you won't explain things.
I explained it already. Okay.
Well, it was a little difficult for me to get. You don't make an ass out of what?
He's getting frustrated.
All right, Phil, never mind.
Yeah, he's getting that look on his face.
You know the look that I get on my face when I, you know, tighten up this hand into a fist?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting that look now, aren't I?
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, Robert Greene from Fraser Foods is going to join us here. But the reason why I told you that story is because Professor Emery Clayton has his own little phrase that he's using at his school now about the smartphone. He says, never use a smartphone because it makes an a-hole out of me and you.
Oh, I get that, yeah.
See, I don't get that.
What don't you get?
There's nothing. What is that about? Don't use a smartphone because it makes an a-hole out of me and you. That's got nothing to do. There's nothing in the word, you know.
Well, I think he's just trying to come up with a catchy thing like that nun did. Yeah, it's probably just trying to do what a nun did.
You know what, man? So we're going to talk to Professor. At least I can say that it's his fault and it's not anybody's fault in this room, or I'd really be going nuts right now. So we'll talk to Professor Emery Clayton about smartphones and how they're making an a-hole. I think what he said was it makes an a-hole out of him.
Well, that was his main point. When I talked to him earlier, I said, you've got a problem with smartphones. He said, yes, I do, because they are taking the teacher out of the classroom in many ways.
So it's not about you, me and you, or you and me. It's about him.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Robert Green joining us now from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. Been a long time, Robert. How you been?
I'm doing pretty good, and thank you very much for having me on your program.
Let's talk about the grocery business. Obviously, it's good.
It's always good, Phil, because the grocery business is the number one job in any society is food. And so the most important people in any society are those people that grow food or provide food. Now, that is a anthropological fact. It cannot be argued with. It cannot be denied. The single most important people in any culture are the people that provide the food. And that's why I said, and I heard Bud, because I spoke with Bud earlier, and you're absolutely right, Bud. That's what I said. You can't mess with me. And you can't push me around.
Okay, so why do you take that stance that you can't mess with me and you can't push me around?
Well, because we've had an awful lot of discussions, you and me, Phil, over the years about how I deal with my customers. And you are, and rightfully so, you're always reminding me of good customer relations, and I think it's very important. But I also remind you that there is a give and take in this world. And when you're in a grocery store and you're talking to the guy that's selling you the food, I think there's a lot of people that forget that. It's as I mentioned, an anthropological fact that growing food and that providing food are the two most important jobs. Now, let's go to the other end of the scale, shall we? What is the most worthless job in all of society? It's the job of the entertainer, the clown, the performer. It is completely unneeded when it comes to survival. You don't need clowns. I'm not saying you're a clown, Phil. I'm saying, though, you're a member of a profession that is absolutely dispensable when it comes to the survival of a society.
Well, Bob, this is Margaret. I don't disagree with you. You're absolutely right. But what does this have to do with anything?
Yeah, that's a good... So why, in other words, are we bringing this up?
Well, I think it's time that we start to remember, especially with the fluctuations in our economy, with all of this discussion about global warming and climate change, with all of this discussion about the ever-changing societies and...
What are you expecting America to have some collapse imminent?
No, not at all. No, I'm not expecting that, but I'm just saying that it reminds us of our priorities. Now, when I got into the grocery business some 30 years ago, and I told my then wife, and I'm not proud of this, I've had two wives since then, but the wife that I had then, I said to her, I'm going to be coming home with the stink of celery on me, but I'm going to be in a business that cannot be done away with. And she was one of these women that would literally fill, my first wife was a cliche, she sat on the couch with an emery board and would look at me and go, uh-huh, and keep doing her nails. I'd be standing there in front of the fireplace. I'd just come home from work. And I've got sweat on me, and my tie is loose at my neck.
Right.
And I got a drink in my hand, and I'm saying to her, you don't get it. I'm coming home every night with the stink of celery and red onion on me. But...
Bob, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Why do you say the stink of red onion and celery? Was it her?
She's the one that said it. My first wife was the one that said, you come through the door every night, and you stink of artichoke and celery, and she'd list a bunch of vegetables. Excuse me, I've got a little bit of a cold I'm getting over, but she'd list a bunch of vegetables, and I'd say, yeah, uh-huh. And she'd say, and you stink of avocado, and you stink. And finally, then she'd say, Jesus, would you make me a salad? So I thought it was very funny, because she'd list all these vegetables that I stunk of, and then ask me to go in and make her a salad. So I'd go in, and I'd make her a salad and dinner, and when I was done with the dishes...
Whoa, hold on, man. You're not doing the dishes?
What's that?
You doing the dishes and everything?
Yes, so she's on the couch with the emery board.
Well, I mean, that was the relationship I had with my first wife. I would come through the door at night stinking of red onion and celery, and she'd say, you stink of red onion, celery, artichoke, and she'd lay alfalfa sprouts, tomato.
And then she'd get hungry.
And then she'd get hungry. I'd say, well, let me make you a salad. She'd say, thank you. And
so she'd insult you, and in the process of insulting you, get hungry, because now she's mentioning all these vegetables she'd like.
But she liked, not she'd like.
That's what he said.
No, he did not say that. He said that she'd like. She mentioned all these vegetables that she like.
What?
She mentioned vegetables she like.
She mentioned vegetables she like?
Well, I was being kind of, I was missing a word there, wasn't I?
Yes, she mentioned vegetables that she would like.
Yes, Bob, it sounded like you momentarily lost some connection between two brain cells.
I apologize. She mentioned vegetables she would like. Yeah, that's it. That's the word I forgot. And then she'd get hungry.
And then she'd get hungry, and then you'd go in the kitchen, and you'd make her a salad.
Then I'd go make her a salad, yeah.
So you were like, she was running you around, man. Look, take a break. I'll take a break. You take a break, Bob. Why am I exhausted after the first 15 minutes of every show?
I don't know. Just can't answer questions.
No. I can answer questions. I get exhausted over the fact that, for instance, right there, no offense, Bob, there's a guy that I got to remind him to use a word, she like. Then I got you with your whole question about smartphones. Then I got people with they don't understand, assume, you and me, ass, all that. And at the end of the first 15 minutes, I have gone through a exercise in getting up to speed. I'll tell you, it's like as Phil has landed on planet Gloid.
Well, Phil, you know, hold on for just a minute now, young man. I don't like that comparison at all.
I don't like it either, General. You're right. It is very offensive to people who are suffering from those ailments.
Well, hold on. I don't care about that. I care about him calling me one. I understand that it's cruel, and I wouldn't do it ordinarily. I would never call anyone that. But the more important thing to me is that you lumped me into a category with people that are in line at Disneyland being kept together by a woman who has everyone's pass. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Why do you find that funny?
It's nothing.
Talk about keeping everybody together at Disneyland.
Yeah, I know. So you're all crowded together in line waiting for the Dumbo ride.
You know what? I'm going to go get a vanilla wafer, and I'm going to forget that the first 15 minutes of this show ever took place. Excuse me.
I'll go with you, General.
Yes.
All right, we're going to be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And if you go to our homepage at philhenryshow.com, you will notice that we have right there for your benefit a little post on gift subscriptions, as well as the free shot glasses we're giving away to our people buying $75 worth in a gift shop or more. We also have free downloads for our BSPs. Check it out, philhenryshow.com. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. What, bud?
Dad's bitching on a Phil TV. They had a kid walking, and Isley Brothers are playing.
I know enough to know that's not the Isley Brothers.
Hey, that's pretty good, General. It's the Isley Brothers.
Yes, I know the Isley Brothers. Why is that?
Well, General, I don't think anyone would know.
Hey, well, hold the phone. Hold it. Turn that jungle music.
Jungle music?
Well, turn it down. Why wouldn't I know who the Isley Brothers are?
You don't know the Isley Brothers.
Well, you called them the Isley Brothers, so what do you know?
Well, no, I thought it was hip that you did. I guess maybe you know.
Yes, we had Armed Forces Radio, and I listened to a lot. You know, I like R&B, and I like a lot of that music. It's just some of the jungle music I don't like.
Well, you call jungle music. That is.
No, bud, that's not. You know what jungle music is? Anything that you like.
So you think Avenged Sevenfold is jungle?
Whoever they are, yes, they're straight from a jungle.
Avenged Sevenfold, okay.
And I don't know who they are, and I could care less who they are, but if Dickman likes them, they're jungle.
Well, they're actually from Orange County, and they're white.
I don't give a damn. If Dickman likes them, they're jungle.
You can't call, you know...
All right, forget it, will you? Just forget it. Bob Green on the line with us here as we discuss who cares, you know?
Phil, by the way, Avenged Sevenfold, yes, they do come from Orange County, which is where... The flagship store of Fraser Foods is, and I am very proud to say that I've seen a couple of the guys in here, and We try to help them. I'll go up to them and say, hey, how, you know, what it is, or you try to be communicative with these young people, but like the band itself, which I understand is a death metal, isn't it a death? It's a death thing, right?
It's heavy metal.
Well, all right, but like that kind of a band, they're sullen and they don't want to talk to me.
Well, Bob, you don't want to ingratiate yourself in a slovenly way. You don't want to...
Oh, I see. Are they too cool for me?
Well, Bob, it's not that they're too cool for you.
Hold on, General. I'm sorry, General, nothing against you, but you would hardly be in a position to know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about social cachet and knowing celebrities. All right?
Well, the General just realized... He was the guy that recognized the Isley Brothers. Bud called them the Isley Brothers.
Well, that doesn't matter. The Isley Brothers are from 1941 or something. I'm talking about now. I'm talking about now. Okay?
1960-something, not 41.
All right, Phil, congratulations. But the point that I'm making here is I get a couple of the guys from Avenged Sevenfold coming in here looking for tangerines or lemonade or fruit pops, whatever they were looking for. And
Bob, they were getting fruit pops?
I don't know. One of the guys from Avenged Sevenfold pulled up, jumps out, comes in, gets some rolling papers and some V8 juice, and says, hi, how you doing? And I go, hey, Avenged Sevenfold, big fan. And he goes, yeah, that's real good. And he takes off, and then he made a motion with his hand. He pointed to the top of my head and made a motion with his hand like my hair system was on crooked. In other words, the entire thing was extremely... I thought they were trying to make trying to make fun of me.
All right, well, who knows? I mean, all I'm saying is that Bud Dickman, who's an Avenged Sevenfold fan, didn't know how to pronounce Isley Brothers, and you do.
No, I don't know anything about them. I'm telling you, I know about the Avenged Fold.
Is it Avenged Sevenfold?
It's Avenged, Avenged. Well, who's Avenged Fold?
That, you mean Ben Fold 5?
Ben Folded what?
Ben Folds 5.
I don't know what you people are talking about. I'm just telling you.
All right, let's get back to our discussion here of the grocery business. Now, you're in a grocery business, Bob, and as you said, you can't push me around. You were going into a discussion here about the relative value of different jobs. Now, yes, I agree with you. The entertainment business is about the most superfluous of all the different businesses.
Well, and I think that's it, Phil. I don't mean to be insulting, but I think it's time that we look at the different different roles that we play in society and pay very serious attention to what they are and the relative value. There is no greater, more important job in society than those individuals that that create, grow, if you will, the food supply and provide the food and keep the food supply going. That's me. See? That's me.
Well, now let's.
Hold on for a minute. That's me. Everybody there. I don't mean to dominate the conversation, but is everyone there clear?
Is everyone where clear?
In the studio.
Yes, I understand that, Bob.
Bob, I understand. Yes.
Yes, Bob.
Bud.
Yes, sir.
And Robert.
Yeah, Bob. I understand the food is important, but what about like
Hold on. Go get to all the other jobs. Now.
What would you say is the number two job?
The number two job, I would think, the number two most important job in all of society, I would think, is then the defense of that society, the policing of that society, making sure people eat and making sure that people are safe. So you have life. Life comes at the top.
So you say like a farmer and a cop.
Well, not just a farmer and a cop, but the farmer and the supplier, the police officer and the military. Those are the two big jobs. And again, what's wiping up, as we used to say when we were kids, you know, when we do those fake horse races, you know, like, and it's toilet paper wiping up the rear. Did you ever do that, Phil?
Yeah.
When you lived in Arcadia, so there's Santa Anita, right?
Yeah.
So didn't you do fake horse races?
Yes, I did. I did fake horse races.
Did you ever do? And it's toilet paper wiping up the rear.
Yes, and we do things like, and it's, I don't know, it's nose by a nose or something.
What
is that?
So, well, you know what I'm saying. I can't think of it right now, but we do a lot of fake horse races.
All right, so what I'm saying here is in the same way. It's the farmers are leading the way, and it's the entertainment business and talk shows wiping up the rear. Okay? Okay, Phil?
Yeah, I got it. Hold on for a minute. Let's take another break. We're going into every single break on a bummer here.
Well, maybe a bummer for you. It's very interesting.
It is very interesting, and you know, Phil, that I've got no dog in this hunt, but he did mention that the number two most important job is the military, is what he was saying.
Well, it makes sense. The military is and police are important in securing the, yes, in securing the safety of society as we eat our food. I just have this image of us sitting there eating while cops stand guard.
Well, it is important, Phil.
All right, we're going to come back with Robert Greene as we talk about jobs and which one are indispensable. Phil Hendry Show. Back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Robert Greene from Fraser Foods. Bob is the CEO. As we talk about, you know, jobs. What are the value of jobs in terms of what benefit they provide society? We have so many different things that we do now. And obviously, it's gotten only what's the word I'm looking here for? I'm looking for a word.
Where?
What are you looking under the table for? But I'm saying I'm looking for a word.
Oh, my God, are you stupid?
You said you were looking for something. Yeah, man, looking for a word, man.
Looking under the table?
You know, Bud, you're doing all right, Bud.
Thank you, General.
You really? Would you go fill this up, just a little bit of hot water, and put a little bit of lemon in it? All right?
Yes, sir.
See, that's how you treat him. You don't yell at him.
You're right.
Just lemon, Bud.
Yes, sir.
And also, Bud, when you pick your nose, use toilet paper or tissue.
Yes, sir.
See, that's what I can't.
You just have to be patient with him.
All right, Robert Greene with us from Fraser Foods. They become more numerous is the word that I was looking for.
I know the word you're looking for is numerous.
Thank you very much.
Bud, hot water.
Yes, sir.
Hot water and lemon and a squeeze of lemon. Hold on. Margaret said that was all right to do.
No, it's not all right to do.
Well, yes, it is all right.
You don't say.
Can I just hear a retired United States general belch like an animal?
I beg your pardon?
Did I just hear you belch like an animal, sir?
No, you heard me belch like a human being. Don't get in my grill, little man, because...
Oh, little man. Woo! Little man, huh?
That's exactly right, little man, because I provide a vital job, too.
You did provide a vital job until you retired, and now you're just sitting collecting dirt like everyone else.
All right, I had no idea this was going to turn into this, but if it's going to continue this way, we can conclude the conversation right now.
I'm not the one that started this.
Well, hold on for just a minute. Yes, you were. You were giving it...
Hold on, General. I don't want to continue down this path. Let's not have this discussion. You guys were talking about, and rightfully so, relative job value. You're a soldier or a former soldier. You are a man that sells food. Now, Bob, there is the thought, and I think it's a fair thought, that you don't really produce food. You're just the middleman.
Yeah, what's that mean?
Look, I'm not trying to get into an argument with you here, you know.
Bob, the point is that you don't grow the food, you simply sell it. The farmer could take it directly to market.
All right, well, you're making a point, but I don't know how good of a point it is. The overall, though, that you're missing, I think, or that you're trying to miss, is that I'm in the business of food. Whether I'm a middleman or whether I'm the farmer or whether I'm Farmer Brown or Old MacDonald, it doesn't matter to me.
Old MacDonald.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying that I am in the food business. General Shaw is in the soldier business. You, Phil, on the other hand, are in the clown business. And if an atomic bomb dropped tomorrow and we were all back in the Stone Age wearing next to nothing... And you have to understand that when we talk about global climate change or we talk about any of these things, we are talking about an apocalyptic vision of the future. And if we are all back in the Stone Age and we have no clothes on and we're crawling through rubble and we are trying to fashion weapons out of shards of glass and rocks and we are all butt naked to the world, radiation searing our skin, we're going to need someone that knows how to grow strawberries and fruit trees and that kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Right. With radiation searing our skin. Are you ready for this guy?
Well, what are you laughing at?
Yeah, it's a very dark vision of the future.
You better believe it's a dark vision of the future. And there's Henry laughing. See, this is what I mean. The clown never leaves. You can take the clown out of the man, but you can't take the man out of the clown. Especially if he's married to the clown. And that's a little bit of a joke.
I don't appreciate that at all.
All right, then I take it back.
You know something? You had me on your side there, and it was a hard-fought victory, but you had me on your side until you said that vulgarity. Now I can't tell you how, the contempt I hold you with.
Well, I'm sorry, General. I was trying to lighten the mood.
All right, okay, fine. Let's not get into World War III just because he made a bad joke, okay?
By the way, what was the bad joke?
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding.
The bad joke was you can take the man out of the clown. You can take
the clown out of the man, but you can't take the man out of the clown, especially if you're married to her.
Oh, and you thought that was a bad joke? I mean...
Yeah, a vulgar, crude, bad joke.
All right.
Yeah, I'll tell you something, General. I always got to deal with that.
Hey, I'm not General. My name is Bob.
I'm the General.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, okay. I thought about... All right.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So,
Man, you people get it together. I'm sitting here trying to listen to this. This is a very interesting conversation. Y'all got to get it together.
I'm trying to get it together, Robert, but they won't let me. I'm trying to make the point here that the clown, the Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey clown, is the odd man out. So if we're crawling over the rubble and we are all trying to find something to eat and we're trying to find some way of surviving for another 5 minutes while radiation, yes, you're right, Phil, radiation sears our skin. You're going to look to Bob Green. You're going to come over to me and say, Bob, you know, I'm being silly, but figuratively speaking, you're going to say, Bob, where do I find plastic bags and bologna, you know? I mean, that sounds ridiculous.
Yes, it sounds asinine. I'm not going to say that if I'm in an apocalyptic nightmare and a Stone Age landscape.
But you understand what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm trying to say?
All right, that we would look for the man who could provide sustenance. We would look to the man who can provide us with those implements and that fuel for survival. Yes, absolutely right.
And that's me, Bob Green, okay? So when your skin is...
I know, being seared by radiation, I'll be looking to you and saying, hey, Bob, where are the plastic bags and the bologna? Oh, man.
Thank you very much.
What did he do?
He hung up. What do you think they all do? They hang up. The minute I let out with a laugh, they hang up.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't laugh, Phil.
Yeah, it's a very serious conversation.
Oh, it is. You're right. I completely forgot how serious this got. Why, we're crawling over the rubble, broken glass, radiation searing our skin. I'm going to go to bottom and say, where can I find the bologna? That's beautiful.
You know, Phil, I think you're working too hard.
Yeah, that's right. I'm losing my mind. Are you people crazy? You take some of this stuff way too serious.
Well, Phil, it is a very frightening thing to consider what could happen to us as a species.
You know something? If you allow yourself to think about anything long enough, you can get flipped out about it. Did I ever tell you about the guy? I'm listening to a talk show one night. I was listening to this guy, God rest his soul. I thought he was very entertaining. His name was David Viscott. You ever heard of him?
Yeah, he's the guy that did the psychology.
Yes, my Patsy loved that program.
Yeah. David Viscott's talking to some guy who calls the show. And the guy says, I think I am a woman trapped in a man's body. He, in other words, this guy thought that he was, you know, transgender or something.
Yes.
And Viscott was talking to this guy, and he finally got this out of the guy that you're not worried about being transgender. You've just been sitting around doing nothing. Because the guy said he's got no job. He doesn't really do much. He sits around watching TV. Viscott said to the guy, all you do is sit around all day long, and you don't do anything, and you think up a bunch of weird crap, and you got yourself talked into this. And he basically told the guy, would you get out and do something? He essentially, it was like the 1980s version of Get a Life.
Yeah, but what's that mean?
It means if you sit around on your dead can long enough and think up stuff, you're going to think the whole world is imploding before your very eyes. All we We got too much time on our hands as it is. That's America's problem. Don't give me this crap about how we work too hard. We don't work too hard. If we worked hard in this country, we wouldn't have time to be imagining half of this jazz that we imagine. I'm telling you. We work just hard enough around here, and then we sit around on our dead ass online and everything else.
Well, Phil, all I know is that Mr. Green, who came on here in good faith and was trying to talk to us about the relative value of jobs.
I understand the relative. It's a very good message. And he's right. The person that is the food provider is the number one job in any society. And in terms of what he said about soldiering and police and security, he's probably right about that. And he's also right about the clown. And I'll tell you what else is way down at the bottom. Well, not way down at the bottom, but it's pretty close to, you know, three quarters of the way down. Religion. Religion.
Bellman said, you can't say that. You got a lot of people upset with us and everything.
Yeah. Wait. Hold on. I'm just talking about how were these things invented? How did they come about? Okay, General?
All right. I'm following you.
Okay. Society is formed. We learn how to grow food. That was the first thing that happened. We stopped hunting and gathering. We said, oh, look at this. We can grow things. So we had a farm, and we were growing food. Now comes population, because that's the first thing that happens when there's more food and people don't have to move around. You have more people. So the food grower, now you need to have someone that's going to secure all of that. And, of course, you have the soldier, the militia, whatever. You need leadership, too. And come the bureaucracy. All of these things are the result of a group of people banding together, creating a static or creating a living situation where they're not moving around. They're living together. You got to have rules. You do need a bureaucracy. And then gradually, with the food come the jobs, and with the jobs comes the leisure time. And with the leisure time now comes the ability to think. And then with the thinking comes what?
Books.
Well, books. What else?
Well, Phil, I don't... With thinking comes what? With,
Well, you're going to say religion. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, contemplation. Contemplation, which leads to, what is this place about? What are we doing here? And that's religion. And so it goes. And of course, we get bored, so we need some guy juggling and all of that stuff. But the further away from the production of food you get, the more meaningless and more dispensable and expendable the job is. So Bob's right. But he's not going to get me to believe that as I crawl over the broken glass and rubble of a radioactive apocalyptic landscape, I'm going to crawl over to where he is, leaning against a brick something or somewhere, and ask him where the bologna is and how much per pound for watermelon.
Yeah, right, watermelon. I got to grow it out there. Grow watermelon there.
I know that. All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Joe Dickhead and the Professor are ahead.
Yeah, that's pitching. You got to find out they're doing good.
Yeah, Joe Dickhead and the Professor had a very good weekend last weekend picking National Football League games. They went 12-4 out of 16 games they picked last week, and they picked all of them. Some weeks and this week I think they're going to miss the Thursday night game, which was last night, so obviously. But they went 12-4 last week. They're 33-20. What are they? I think they're 33-23. Do you know, Robert?
Yeah, they went in 21-19, 12-19, 23-12-4 plus carry the two. Yeah, 33-23.
It's still not the greatest record, but at least they were in danger of losing their job here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, because if they had a rotten weekend last week, and I told Joe in a private phone conversation, don't ever darken our towels again, man. Get away from me and don't come back.
So they still have a job here.
Yeah, they went 12-4. They
I don't know what they went 12-4 meant or means, Phil. What does that mean?
They won 12 and lost 4.
Well, Frank asked me to ask you, what about the point spread?
We're not doing any point spread this year. Maybe next year. Okay?
Well, fine, Phil. You don't have to yell at me.
Well, I'm just, I've been asked that question so much. Okay, we'll be right back here. I'm sorry, Mark. I didn't mean to yell at you, but it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. So Joe Dickhead and the Professor ahead. All right. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
You were talking about a Boston video that you saw.
Oh, it was a piece of Boston concert footage. This is the band Boston, and... I haven't seen, of all the bands, you know, YouTube has been a revelation for so many of us to see music and to look at groups that we haven't seen and to enjoy performances that we've never enjoyed before. And you see, wow, that's what they look like. That was the group.
Yeah, like the Star Band.
The what?
The Star Band Vocal Band.
The Starland Vocal Band, not the Starland Boca Band.
Oh, yeah, okay, great.
You ever see them?
Yeah, we saw the video of them. So anyway...
Who's the Starland Boca Band?
Starland Vocal Band. They were doing the thing the other night.
What thing the other night?
Can we not get sidetracked, please?
I'll tell you later, General.
All right, jeez. God, get down on me. I'm just trying to avoid a freaking scene out here, you know.
Yeah, okay, Davey.
Davey?
Never mind. So I was looking at this piece of video of Boston doing a live show at the Meadowlands in New Jersey, and it was just amazing to see the group perform. Actually, pretty good band live, you know. I'd never seen them. Very, very good musicians, and what was deceptive about it is that they shot the stage from the front of the stage, which you would do, but they allowed seating very sparsely behind them. So you can imagine there's thousands and thousands of people in front of them that you don't see because the camera is looking at them from that point of view. What you do see is behind the stage, they had allowed probably no more than 20 or 30 people to sit in the seats behind the stage. So it looked like it was a Boston show, and there was nobody at it, you know.
Yeah, it looked like there's only like 5 people there.
Yeah, it looked real cheesy.
Well, maybe that's why they didn't release the footage, because I saw it, and you saw a lot of the time signature, and...
Yeah, it looked like very raw production footage, you're right.
What is time signature? Now, you're getting into some things...
It's just a technical production talk for... If you look at a piece of videotape and you see the time scrolling, it's what the production teams use.
Oh, all right, so that's the technical television term, is that it?
Yes, the technical television term. Okay, so it's time here, Joe Dickhead, let's see what the... What Big Joe has got, not that music, bud, the other music. Okay. Is Joe, go take it away, buddy.
Thank you, Phil. This is Joe Dickhead here. It's time for Joe Dickhead and the NFL Picks. Appreciate it, Phil Henry here for High Top. The Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm Joe Dickhead along with the Press Rep. And this week we are picking teams based upon the size of the city. The smaller city we think will win. We're Joe Dickhead of the Professor. We're 33-23. Sue me if I'm wrong.
This is the Professor, and the first game on tap will be the Indianapolis Colts at a Kinganati, or not the Kinganati, it's Cincinnati. We found out how to, that's pronounced, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who are sending us cards, it's the Kinksonati.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
The Cincinnati Bengals. We picked the Cincinnati Bengals to win because that's the smaller city of Indianapolis.
Smallest city from Indianapolis.
What's that?
Smallest city from... All right, so we've got it. Thank you very much. Yes, we're picking Cincinnati over Indianapolis. Cleveland at the New England Patriots. Obviously, the New England Patriots representing the city of Boston. The Cleveland Browns represent the city of Cleveland. We think it'll be the Cleveland Browns to defeat the New England Patriots. And if we actually knew how to handicap football games, we would never pick against the Patriots because every time we do, we get our ass handed to us.
That's right. Well, we can call that our upset special.
No, we're not calling that the upset special because the upset special is the game that you don't announce. The upset special, oh, man. And in the next game, we have the Oakland Raiders at the New York Jets. The Oakland Raiders are pretty good, so the New York Jets. We don't know anything about football. We're picking the Oakland Raiders to beat the New York Jets at New York this coming Sunday.
Kansas City Chiefs take on the Washington Redskins in the battle of the offensive mascots. The Chiefs representing the chief of the tribe, and the Redskins are just the warriors that rape and pillage the white community, and we think the Chiefs are going
to... Never mind that, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry. We think, though, that the Chiefs, because they represent the city of Kansas City, we think they'll beat the Washington Redskins. We pick the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's the Minnesota Vikings at the Baltimore Ravens. Minnesota, that is Minneapolis-St. Paul, is a much, much smaller city from Baltimore, Maryland. And so we have the Minnesota Vikings. That's our upset. Shoot.
Yeah, you just did it again. Well, our upset special was the Minnesota Vikings beating the Baltimore Ravens. The Atlanta Falcons will be traveling to Green Bay, the bay that's green up there in Wisconsin, and they'll be taking on the Green Bay Packers. The Falcons, coming from Atlanta, that is a bigger city. I looked it up. Atlanta beats Green Bay.
It'll be the Buffalo. Buffalo Bills against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, try as we might, we couldn't find in any Wikipedia, any kind of reading anywhere, any kind of a chart, which city is bigger, Buffalo or Tampa Bay? Tampa Bay or Buffalo? Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay, Buffalo? We made a decision, we made a judgment call, and we think that Tampa Bay is a bigger city than Buffalo, so we picked the Buffalo Bills to beat... Wait a second. The Green Bay Packers are going to beat the Atlanta Falcons. I'm sorry. It's the Green Bay Packers. God, I hate you.
I'm sorry. What did I do wrong?
You're supposed to pick the smaller city. The Green Bay Packers beat the Atlanta Falcons. And
hold on. Let me just jump in here, guys, okay?
No, we got it.
No, hold on. If it's the smaller city that's going to win, Green Bay is going to beat Atlanta.
That's exactly what I said.
No, you didn't. You said...
You're the one that... You said... that it was going to be the Atlanta Falcons. Now, the Bills against the Buccaneers, we're running out of time. We pick the Buffalo Bills over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We pick the Pittsburgh Steelers over the Dolphins. And we pick the Detroit Lions over the Philadelphia Eagles because Detroit has lost 25% of its population in the last 12 years. They suck. This is Joe Dickhead of the Promesa with our NFL picks.
All right, thanks a lot, Joe. I think we got it understood. I think you guys were fine. You were consistent until you got there to Green Bay and Atlanta. So it is going to be the Green Bay Packers beating Atlanta in that game. I think they got the other ones right. Anyway, we'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show right after this. By the way, we got a few seconds. I want everybody to get over to our website, philhendryshow.com, and get a backstage pass. Get a backstage pass, get a gift subscription, but get it.